So chapter 16 of A Case for Classical Christian Education is called A Case for Latin. Why Latin? That's probably one of the most frequently asked questions. There's kind of, for many people, there's kind of an appeal to it. It seems like an old-timey thing to do. But for other people, it's kind of a weird thing to do. Why? What are you doing that for? Are you guys operating under the assumption that Latin is what they speak in Latin America? No, Latin is not what they speak in Latin America. And if you're thinking in pragmatic utilitarian terms, like what can this help you do? Well, it can help you get a table at the Vatican restaurant, as one person once said. Well, yeah. Why have the students spend years learning Latin when Latin is a dead language? As the old doggerel has it, Latin is a dead language, as dead can be. It killed the ancient Romans, and now it's killing me. So, why Latin? I say this at the beginning of this chapter. One of the most common questions classical educators face is this natural one. Why Latin? In our postmodern times, it might be tempting for us to shrug and say, ask, why not? But we should probably do better than this. At the crossroads of life, it appears that we always have to give a reason for going right instead of left. If we drop our dress code requirements, virtually no one wants to know why. But if we tighten those same requirements, we had better have all our reasons lined up in a row. Few have to give a reason for lowering the bar. Reasons are always necessary for raising it. So teaching Latin is raising the bar. Teaching Latin is adding an extra element to the education of children. It is extra work. It's extra expense. You have to hire a Latin teacher. It's a lot of extra. So why is it worth it? Well, there are a number of reasons that can be offered, and the reasons are of different kinds. I say this, in arguing for a return to the disciplined study of Latin, we do not do so mindlessly, simply because Latin is old. Some things improve with age, like wine, but other things do not, like pizza. I want to argue that Latin is in the former category. It ages like wine. There's a real benefit. So let me give just a few scattered reasons for teaching Latin. First, a good education encourages such attention to detail in all things, but especially in language. Latin is a wonderful mental discipline. I say on page 140, the reason mental discipline is difficult is that we live in a fallen world, and God has cursed the ground so that thorns and thistles grow there. Laziness and sin both make people want to coast downhill. Chesterton once said that Satan fell by the force of gravity. We like to relax our Latin standards for the same reason that we prefer riding our bicycles downhill as opposed to uphill. It's hard. Now you don't want to say that it's good because it's hard. I want to say it's hard because it's good. Right, so every good thing, every worthwhile thing, if you want to excel in anything. If you want to play for the symphony orchestra, if you want to be a concert pianist, if you want to be an Olympic athlete, if you want to grow the biggest tomatoes in the county, whatever it is you want to do, that is going to require extra from you. It's going to be hard. So it's hard because it's good, rather than thinking, well, anything that's hard must be good. So eating a bowl of driveway gravel would be hard, but that doesn't make it good. And so you don't want to reason backwards. Mental discipline, the mental discipline of learning how a language works, to encounter a new language, learning how to take it apart, learning how the grammatical rules of that language function, is a mental discipline that benefits you wherever you go. So if I could take an example, when a football coach makes his players run wind sprints during practice, he is making them do something, build their endurance, which will be with them in the game that coming Friday night. But it will also be with them when they're walking around the block, or when they go for a run, or when the exercise, the stamina, the endurance that they build is something that goes with them wherever they are. So the mental discipline of studying Latin is a good mental discipline, and here's the point, it's a transferable mental discipline. So when a student has been out of your high school for 10 years and they can scarcely remember any of the Latin that you taught them, is that an argument for saying that it was worthless? No, they don't remember the Latin, but they've still retained the mental discipline. So, you know, a football player who goes to three-a-day practices, 10 years after he graduates, unless he's living in the past, he doesn't even remember the schedule of who they played. He doesn't remember the schedule at all. But there's certain parts of it that he retains. The discipline is something he retains. So it's difficult to imagine what old-time writers would say today if they had the opportunity to confront our instant mindset, where students want to get all their multicultural experiences out of a can, ready to be heated up in the microwave. People love to talk about multiculturalism as though you could address that itch by, sampling spicy foods at a food fair, or studying abroad for a semester, but it doesn't work that way. The circulatory system of every culture is its language, and if you learn a language, you really learn language. You're learning how to inhabit a culture other than your own. It broadens your horizon. I say this on the bottom of 140. We tend to think of our students' minds as finite shoeboxes. And we then think that we must take special care not to put anything in there if we do not want it to remain there for life. But the brain is more like a muscle, not a shoebox, it's more like a muscle. A student who learns one language, such as Latin, is not stuck with his shoebox three quarters full with no room for Spanish. Rather, the student has a mind that has been stretched and exercised in such a way that subsequent learning is much easier, not much harder. So if you think of learning a language as taking up storage space in your head, as opposed to thinking of it as running, jogging in the morning, right? If you think, when I learn 20 vocabulary words in Latin, I put those words in a box and I stick them in the attic of my head. And that means I'm not going to have room in the attic of my head for other useful stuff later on. No, we don't want to fall prey to a false analogy. What we're doing is we're studying Latin as a mental discipline that will make it easier, not harder, for you to learn Spanish later on. Just like it'll be easier for you to run the second fun run a month after the first one. So it's not like you're tapping out. It's like you're building your endurance. On top of that, and this is an important point, Latin is a canonical language. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at English, modern English, which is Teutonic in its structure and its ancestry. It's a old English is a Germanic kind of language. And there are certain words that descend to us from our Germanic past. The Anglo-Saxon word for house is hus, H-U-S. Body is bonhus, bone house. Which is a kenning. So B-A-N-H-U-S. Bonhus is bone house, your body. But Anglo-Saxon words tend to be pithy, short, monosyllabic. So house is Anglo-Saxon in its heritage. Domicile is Latin. Okay, so domicile is an English word, a modern English word. And house is a modern English word. But they betray their ancestry. Generally, Latin words are polysyllabic. Anglo-Saxon words tend toward the pithier, more pointed words. But here's the thing. English, modern English, has about 500,000 words in it. And out of all the words that English has, about 50% of them come from Latin. About 50% of our English words come from Latin. And another 30% from classical Greek. So 80% of modern English vocabulary comes from the classics. So if you study Latin, study Greek, one of the things you're doing is not only are you not taking up space with that Latin box full of, you know, shoebox full of words, what you're doing is you're exercising, enabling you to learn more later in other areas. But on top of that, you're exercising intelligently. All right. So if you learn one Latin word, dico, right? So I speak or say. So dico, I speak or say. I learned that word, but what doors have I opened in English? Well, dictator, dictation, dictate, malediction, valedictorian, benediction. You know, so I've got a kit where I can take these things that I've learned and assemble them, or I can look at an English word that someone uses, and it's not the ability to translate a Latin phrase, which also can also come in handy, et cetera, or things like that. Those are Latin phrases that have become, for all intents and purposes, English, but English words. So I look at, let's say I'd never seen domicile before. I could, if I knew Latin, I could hazard a guess. I'm reading along, I see the context, I know something of the Latin, and I can, I know what that is. And this, it's not surprising that if someone has two years of Latin in high school, which is a lot less than what we're providing in ACCS schools. At Logos, we start Latin in third grade and run it up through junior high, and then the students have the option of continuing even beyond that. But if students just studied Latin for 2 years in high school, that is good for 100 points on the verbal section of the SAT. Okay? So every student who studies Latin does better on the verbal portion of the SAT. Not only that, but they do better on the math portion of the SAT. And this is not because they're the smart students who are taking Latin, because you're comparing it to students who are taking another foreign language. So you're comparing 2 years of Latin versus 2 years of Spanish. Right? And so Latin students on the verbal portion of the SAT outperform the students who've taken another language by 100 points on the verbal section of the SAT. Not only that, but they also outperform everybody else on the math portion of the SAT, except for, and this is interesting, except for those students who take Russian. Students who take Russian do better on the math portion of the SAT. So, in arguing for Latin this way, I want to say a word about pragmatism. I say this on 142. Pragmatic Americans sometimes think these are remarkably uncompelling arguments. We don't want to live in accordance with the dictates of pragmatism, which can be hung with its own rope. Pragmatism doesn't work. At the same time, commitment to something more important than immediate success often has the side benefit of immediate success. In other words, adopting the instruction of Latin, teaching Latin to your elementary students, might seem like a counterintuitive move. Like, why? If you're trying to attract people to your school, why would you do something like that? But we've discovered that not caring about results, not caring about financial success, not caring that way, not caring the wrong way about results, is one of the things that gets results. Caring about results in the wrong way is pragmatism that gets hung by its own rope. It doesn't work. Pragmatism, sort of a bottom line pragmatism, is the kind of thing that characterizes the American school system, which is a failing school system. If you have your eye on only what works, the first observation I would make is, well, that doesn't work. Education is not about teaching children how to get a job. Education is about teaching children and young adults how to get a life.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
Three kids at Logos, one at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.